join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start?
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Sirius XM.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is running like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown Triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
Sirius XM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Trace, oh my God, Trey Styles. We're not going to miss an opportunity to put the two, to put the incredible pairing together.
That's right.
The S-H-R-P-I-E-S, the Sharpies, together again. Not for the first time. You want the stick mic? Use the stick mic. There'll be a certain, I'll take a picture and there'll be a certain great look to it. Unbelievable. What a happenstance.
The sharpest of the sharp.
Here he is. Well, the most important topic.
The best looking, at least.
Look, boy, he's bright sharp out of the gate. Trey Styles joins us. Nick Tamaro with us. And the most important question, tell everybody about Esther's Kitchen, which you took your wife.
I got to wonder. That was awesome. That was a very nice recommendation. You gave me several. And I chose that one. I wanted to get off the strip, get away. The district, the arts district, I guess.
Fabulous.
That place is awesome.
Yes,
and I've never
is.
Been over there. It was so nice to get away from kind of the crowds, you know.
Yep.
It was very nice. I'm going to head back there in daytime because I bet it's a different vibe. Daytime, different shops are open. A lot of stuff was closed in the evenings, but it's been a lot of cool bars and brew pubs and things. And it was pretty neat. And the restaurant itself was great.
Where was it?
It's in the art district.
Where's that?
It's south sort of downtown, or near downtown, between here and
downtown. Between downtown, off sort of to the, I guess that would be to the east, maybe. You head toward downtown, toward
kind of Tremont
to the left. Street, and it is.
It's kind of like Austin. It's got an Austin kind of vibe to
there
it.
There you go.
Say, kind of an artsy. Pretty cool.
That's a great analogy, and I think it's still developing. Did you get the loaf of bread with the spreads?
Yeah, we did. You took care of me, man. I appreciate it.
I got to get you there because you'll.
Yeah, I would go for sure.
You'll flip.
Yeah,
it's tremendous.
Well done.
Absolutely tremendous. All right, good. Now let's get with having the two of you together. Let's. Trying to see, no, that's a bad angle. There we go. I got the new 14 camera, and I'm like Skip Dickstein.
Colianese better watch out, huh?
Well, maybe I can win a photography eclipse.
Say it louder, Steve. Say it louder. There's people here that can influence it.
I couldn't resist.
Low-hanging fruit, Steve.
That's for sure.
So I just got to enter. What are you guys chatting about?
We actually just started chatting.
Yeah, well, no, I was just coming to give you a hard time.
No,
I was back with my breakfast.
I'm impervious to your nonsense, so I wouldn't have been bothered.
Good point.
But no, we're just starting talking and talking about live money contest versus $2 win place, and I'd say you had a good crossover type year. You had some live money success throughout the year.
I did. I think I would definitely have been considered, and maybe others do. That I'm still just a win place player, but I think I've shown my ability to do both.
Yeah. I think the other thing about that particular topic is that, you know, the live money contests range in entry fee and bankroll from small to very large. And I think you have to find your proper price point. So, you know, I would chase a lot of the bigger bankroll ones for years and partner up with people and things like that. And I don't have any problem with continuing to do that. But I think I learned my personal comfort zone is somewhere between $500 and $1,500. Like, because the thing to me that became clear is that you have to be willing to risk your whole bankroll.
Totally agree.
Early, in fact, in some cases. But you definitely have to be able to risk it late.
Yeah, you're playing at a huge disadvantage if you're going to want to come home with X amount of dollars. Yeah. You got to treat it like Monopoly money.
You're not playing to win, that's for sure. Yeah,
totally
you have to.
So whatever that level is for you, if you're a gazillionaire, then
$10,000
is nothing.
Play the
BCBC, buy in, and go for it. But
well, and there, you know, there is a case. There's also a case to be made when it comes to those challenges on the buy-ins. If you're planning to go to the event, it's a wonderful. You're treated, you know. You've got an entree.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That you know, that I'm sure some people didn't even think of when they put down the $10,000.
Sure.
That they, you know, experienced players know that. But I mean, especially like at Keeneland.
Yeah.
Where
that's exactly what I was going to bring up. Jim and I talked about. I had him on my podcast that you two were the first two guests on.
Great job. I listened through that part at least, didn't I?
Just your part. Yeah, figures. And he said, you know, what he could sell as part of the on-track experience was Keeneland. So, yeah, you're putting up $3,500, but you're getting a couple of days at Keeneland. You know, you're getting a comfortable place to sit, a free meal, et cetera, et cetera. So there's something to be said for that. So, I mean, if you're a high-volume player, nothing should dissuade you from doing that and going and playing in that event.
Take it the flip side. Early on in your play, And you know, one of the things I brought up with Roger Satina, Roger's going to go make a tour run. And, in fact, he played in the Last Chance First Chance yesterday specifically, never had before, specifically to get the points that give him, you know, sort of a toehold, not even a toehold, but an advance because of the points that are available. But we talked about, you know, playing in, you know, the $8 qualifiers to get in. You look at somebody like Jim Sebas. We'll get Jim this afternoon. Jim has made it here year after year on a shoestring, on an absolute shoestring. He plays the free contests. He plays the things like my contest, the Beat Bic, you know, low threshold numbers, the $8, the $18 buy-ins as a way to get to a chance on Saturday or Sunday.
Well, and that's, you know, that's something I was talking to, I don't remember who it was, a couple of days ago, and I said, you know, I've been here 8 times, and there was only 1 year where I came here and wasn't positive for the year on contest play, just because it's always live money. So, I mean, some years I made a good amount of money, some years I made a little bit of money. So, yeah, that's what you have to do is, you know, and you and I joked about how I would see the guys that finished in the top 20 in the tour, and I'd say it's a good thing they got prize money, now they'll get even.
I used to make fun of those people, now I am one of those
Now
people.
You are one, right. But you did it the right way. You let the tour chase you, which is, you know, the tour chose you, I should say. You didn't, you've got to score a little early to get in the mix. I mean, I would never do it. I'm just not at the stage in my life where I could do it, but, and I'm not playing win place contests on Fridays every week, but you're good at that.
And you were talking about Satina doing that. I mean, I heard him saying just that to some folks at our table, and I totally agree. If you want to chase the tour, I think you need to show up for this tournament, because everybody around me on the leaderboard I just couldn't. I mean, the difference between me and the first place was points that were retained in in this contest.
Yeah.
So,
agreed.
I mean, if you want to do it, you got. But I didn't play because I don't want to do it. But
right.
I mean, if it picks me again, so be it. But it's not something I'm striving for.
Oh, I didn't want to put the work in yesterday, and I didn't want to potentially waste any good opinions. And the 19-1 shot that won the fourth race at Santa Anita, I wouldn't have used if you told me the result beforehand. So
yeah.
So that's also like that's my downfall with this event is that my horseplay in general is not based on finding 20-1 shots, right? I mean, it's based on finding logical horses, sometimes that are decent prices, but that provide you an opportunity to structure wagers where you can make money. I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, having a like I talked to AJ Benton on the podcast, and he regularly finds 20+-1 shots to bet and to structure multi-race bets around.
Yeah, that would help.
And unsurprisingly, he's had a ton of success in this event in 3 years because it's a great fit for him.
That's what you have to do.
Well, excuse me. I hope this is not going to be the start of the throat issue.
You need a Ricola.
Ricola.
I have a lot in my announcer's booth.
Just have Nick on more. You can't get a word in edgewise when he's on, so you'll be good. Just
you can hold your own. I get paid to talk, buddy.
That excuse me. That topic, in fact, the $2, you know, the $2 mythic versus the cash play. I mean, that sort of the theme that we hit on this morning with Roger, and we should mention you went to, I've already referred to it yesterday, you went to the limit, the closing stages of the tour with Jay Johns, who prevailed.
Yep, I had got up on him late, and then he passed me, and yeah, it's, again, I got to a point where there were only so many contests I could play because I could win, and the points wouldn't, you know, they only keep your top seven scores. So I got to where I kind of fortunate, I guess, because I couldn't play every day, you know. So, but he was in a spot where he could because he got points here, and you know, fired away and got the job done. I caught him, I don't know, late last year, and then he passed me up again. So,
how about the travel side? I mean, you qualify at every year you qualify out of town.
Yeah, I mean, now I can't play anything in town, so. This was the first year I qualified in state in my life.
I was there both times.
Yeah, you were. I qualified at Lone Star. They carried over my entry from 21 because my dad passed away.
Right.
And his funeral was that weekend. So it was very, very nice of Michelle to do that. But then I qualified twice anyway at Lone Star, and I'll play all three Lone Star live money contests after our quarter horse meet starts. So because you know they're good opportunities, they're mid range price points as well, and. So, yeah, I have to qualify out of town pretty much every year. So my list is not as long as Trey's. We compared in December. He's qualified at, like, 80 different places.
But the funny thing is I travel all over the place, and it seems like I usually qualify in Texas, Louisiana, New Mexico. Seems like I do all the traveling, and I rarely does it do me any good.
Yeah.
The original clubhouse lawyer, as we
the clubhouse lawyer.
It's my marketing guy.
Yeah.
Right.
not as clever a name though as the horse track widow.
My wife.
And Ruth Ann she's the talent. In the original.
She is, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah, that's pretty clever. I might have pushed the envelope a little too far with this horse stuff sometimes. She's retaliated with her Twitter handle alone.
Well, I have trademarked clubhouse lawyer when it comes to race, and of course, I did come up with the Suey Seer for Dave Hill.
I like it.
I got the website. I got SueySeer.com.
I like it.
Right?
You're good. This is your part-time gig assigning nicknames.
I like that. You've got a breakfast to eat.
Yes. And you mind if I go do that?
Go
and
eat
you with
breakfast. But we will talk to you during the
Let me know when I'm walking.
All right,
grab me. I'd love it.
Trey Stiles, everybody.
All right, see you, buddy.
The clubhouse lawyer.
You want to keep me?
Yeah, you're staying because you've got to do some handicapping.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So. We've probably had a lot of Tampa content already, right?
A fair amount.
Yeah.
Let me first get your... I want to get your recapping on what we saw from the three-year-olds last week.
Yeah, you know, I think the Fountain of Youth was probably the race and performance that we were waiting for. You know, I think there's a little haste to overrate Forte just because we were waiting on a big effort, and he ran fine. I mean, he ran well. He got a high 90 buyer, which is a great starting point for a three-year-old. You know, one of the things we talked about, I know you and I had talked about it a little bit too, was that it's with the three-year-olds, especially the talented two-year-olds that become three-year-olds, you wonder how much they're going to move forward at three. So it at least looks like he's as good at three as he was at two. And if you compare him to quality two-year-olds from recent years, you know, Nyquist made a 12-point buyer improvement in his three-year-old debut. Forte basically paired his juvenile figure, but Forte's juvenile was a lot faster. So, I mean, he's a very good horse, and in this crop, he looks like a horse that's going to be very tough to handle for anybody, but we get to see him one more time. Practical Move, amazingly, has found a way to run up the inside two races in a row when the inside was good at both Los Al and Santa Anita, which, A, that doesn't happen very often, and B, off-the-pace horses don't usually get free runs through on the rail. He's a solid horse, and I commend Tim Yakteen for getting him into form and keeping him there. It looks like he's going to need to take an appreciable step forward in his next start, but he'll get an opportunity in the Santa Anita Derby. I'll admit I'll always have affinity for Race Kane now, but he doesn't look like much of a Derby horse. He could be maybe a Woody Stevens horse down the line, but I don't blame the connections for giving him one opportunity to see how he performs in a race like the Wood. So it was a good weekend in terms of having some versatility in the types of races and the performances. Diversity, I guess, is a better word. But you know, we get to see all these horses again. So I think the continuation of the series with the Tampa Derby will spice things up a little bit, even though it looks in many ways like a one-horse race.
We're going to have the two, you know, the two Southeast events yet, the Arkansas Derby and the Louisiana Derby. And the Louisiana Derby, to me, takes on a lot of added significance because of the mile and 3/16.
Yeah.
And people need to be reminded of that you know, it's not a mile and an eighth prep.
Right. Right.
And, you know, then, of course, they're going to run the UAE Derby. That'll typically produce a starter. We've got this Japanese horse that is coming out of nowhere.
Very intriguing, right? I mean,
Shanghai Bobby.
Look, they're doing a lot right in Japan right now, and a lot of it has to do with, and I know that, like me, I know you smile when you see them buying all of these Japanese mares, I'm sorry, all these American mares, and having such success, because, I mean, the rest of the world has scoffed at us for so long, right?
Well, exactly. It's, you know, nobody wants our bloodstock, remember. Just
our
remember.
Poor drug-addled horses that nobody wanted a piece of.
Well,
yet they'll buy our stallions, and they've bought about 200 of our mares, so,
well, more than,
you know.
More.
Right? More. They have 200 quality ones.
And all of theirs, they every one of them has Sunday silence in them.
Exactly,
in
right.
Pedigrees,
yeah.
But just remember, our
do as I say, not as I do.
Wow.
My favorite, favorite experience. But yeah, I mean, that's going to add a lot of spice to the prep, and I love that we've gotten more Japanese participation in racing in general. And I mean, hell, look at their participation last year in the Derby itself. It basically ensured that was the only way we'd get a fast pace. So, you know, I'd love to have a few show up. We'll see what happens with the UAE Derby. I know the Having a Meltdown ran well in the Saudi Derby. I don't know if he's back in the UAE Derby, but there's going to be some other horses that are. So, yeah, it's fun to see. I saw the you just handed me the list of the latest Derby future wager, which will largely be dominated by Forte. And now you have horses in here that aren't in the field anymore because they've changed trainers.
No, they are in the field.
Well, they're in the wager instead of being in the field.
Oh,
I
see what you mean.
You as well.
Well, just because it's got such little, there's so little to go on right now, unless you're going to go all in on wet paint, I guess. Who's so scary in there?
Did you watch the race that Punch Bowl ran on Sunday afternoon at Oaklawn?
No, actually.
Brad Cox's horse. She's in the wager. She's good. She's good, but her issue is she's run twice. You know, she's never been off LASIX, so now she's going to have one opportunity to get in the Ashland. But she got, I think, a 91 buyer winning. I'm sorry, she got an 89 buyer. And, these are a lot of evenly matched horses. We've seen, obviously, a little bit of ability from a number of them. But even a horse like Faiza, who continues to go out there and win left and right, who does have not have any Oaks points at this point, at this stage, I mean, she's been getting low 80s buyers. So, I mean, she's just not, you know, she's not scary. And Occult, who Chad will run in the Gazelle, as far as I know, looks like she's good, but she gets buyers in the high 70s. So, you know, they're not scaring anybody.
Scully put a push on Occult. That was the filly that intrigues him.
If she is north of 20-1, she's a fair bet. Because the other thing is, it's Chad. So she's not going to be in there unless she's less than 10-1. I mean, if she runs a dull third in the Gazelle, she's not going to go to the Oaks. He'd wait for the Black Eyed Susan or something like that. You know, the other problem is that you look through these horses and there's just nobody that's really taken a clear step forward. I mean, Julia Shining at 12-1 is sort of insanity, right? I mean, Sheet of Beauty, who won the Busher, is 15.
I made the case for Skinner for the Sheriff's show horse in the Derby. The horse that may be obscured, what about Sheriff's and this Justique, who is going to continue to be fine-tuned by the time, I mean, if and when she arrives for the Oaks?
Yeah, I fear that she's probably a one-turn horse. I mean, she's probably a layback one-turn horse. She probably looks like a good fit to me for the Acorn. Closing sprinter type. That's when she's really been at her best so far. She just kind of spun her wheels late, but she hasn't got any pace to run at around two turns. So, you know, I still think there's a little bit of hope out there for her.
40-1 on her?
40-1 on her, yeah. I didn't think Skinner ran poorly last week. I picked him. You know, I didn't necessarily love the race he put forth, but he did make the only off-the-pace move.
Yes, he did.
So, you know, there's something to be said for that. I heard some people say, I've not done the work on it, admittedly, that the inside may have been the place to be at Santa Anita on Saturday. And if that's the case, then you upgrade him even more, because he was 3-4 wide the whole way around there. I fear that with Victor Espinosa, he's probably going to be very wide every time. But, hey, he's also an off-the-pace horse. I'll tell you a horse that nobody's talking about at all, and you underlined him on here. It's like Instant Coffee is not in training anymore.
This is an out of sight, out of mind scenario.
Exactly.
And for those that wonder, well, why hasn't he been out? Is he missed time? No, this was the plan all along.
He doesn't need to.
Right.
He's going to Louisiana Derby.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he'll run the Louisiana Derby. He'll get that extra time. I mean, if this horse is 30+1, this is another one where, I mean, you're going to get a third of that on Derby Day. So, he has to run better. There's no question about it. But it doesn't mean that he isn't good value in this particular scenario. I mean, imagine taking a comparable price on him versus a horse like even Confidence Game. And with all due respect to Confidence Game's connections, I think Instant Coffee is a far likelier Derby winner than Confidence Game. So, yeah, I think there could be a little bit of value to be had there. I think that other than that, you know, by the time the wager closes, if Tappet Trice wins tomorrow like he's supposed to, then I think his price will go down off the 15-1. He seems to have a pretty sexy pedigree for people and running style and things like that. So I don't blame anybody that wants to go that direction.
And I should turn the page, because one of the horses that we took a shine to early on, and who apparently now is going to run in the Jeff Ruby. You know, every time I have to say Jeff Ruby, I fight
Jack Ruby.
Saying Jack Ruby.
Yeah, me too. It's unbelievable.
You would think that Jack Ruby is so far out of everybody's mind at this point, 60 years later.
Yeah.
That's how, you know, notorious / immortal Jack Ruby is in history. For those of you who have no idea who Jack Ruby is,
look it up.
Crack a book.
Yeah.
80-1 on two fills. And Ravelli.
Apparently he worked like a monster this morning.
Ravelli is a problem.
I'll tell you what, that horse has run sneaky well in his last two starts, too. I thought he was arguably best in the LeCompte. My concern with him is distance, but I like the way they're getting him there, because he'll get some fitness. Ravelli's obviously very good on the synthetic, so I like that part of it quite a bit. You could do worse than taking him at, 90-1 or so that he'll end up being.
Exactly. You want You want to try to get a horse there at a price that will be twice, three times what he'll be on Derby Day. All right, thanks for that, Nick. Speaking, by the way, of 89 buyers at Oakland or with Brad Cox, for those that didn't see Squire Creek in his debut,
it was last Friday, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, I did. Yeah, good, good-looking win of Son of Uncle Mo. This is just another Brad Cox horse that he'll have for the second half of the year. He's got Bishop's Bay and the runner-up for Godolphin from that race from Risen Star Day, now Squire Creek. There's no shortage. He did have a horse underperform at Oakland yesterday, but I don't think anybody's shedding any tears.
This horse is out of a Spitestown mare, so you got to figure.
Could be distance issues.
Yeah, figure.
You never know with
short.
Old Spitestown. He's
That's true. That's true. He gets turf horses, turf milers. He gets everything.
Nobody makes a stallion like Todd Pletcher.
That's very, very true. All right, let's get into the weekend, and let me pull up the cross country, which is an all stakes cross country pick five that utilizes the. Action at Tampa, excuse me, as part of the and now with this room 60% filled, it's getting tough to move the internet around. Boy, oh boy, that'll
yeah, it's a great result.
Here we go. Actually, I got it right here, cleverly on my phone. I keep pages open. The Hillsboro, the Florida Oaks, the Correction, the Tampa Bay Derby, and the Azari. John Lindo.
Yeah, super fun sequence. And, I mean, the Tampa races look not only interesting, very competitive.
Santa Anita has canceled today.
I thought it was going to happen. Yeah,
this was, there was, thank you. John Lindo, good morning.
Breaking news.
We got to get you on. We got to get you on this year. All right.
All right, but he was
Thank you. I appreciate it. That is no good. That will throw a giant wrench in the works for today's action.
It will. I think anybody that was paying any attention to the weather knew that this was had a pretty strong chance of happening. And, yeah, unfortunate, but, you know, we'll play on six tracks now. And I'll tell you, Steve, from a game theory standpoint on this event, 6-1 is the new 12-1. The score is going to be low today. I'm telling you, it is not going to be, it's not going to be a free for all. But, yeah, so these stakes at Tampa, the cross country pick five starts with the Hillsboro, where, of course, Chad Brown is represented as he always is. You know, the horse that you have to fear in here from his barn is Rougier, to me, a little bit more so than Shantisara, even if Shantisara has a recency edge, because Rougier's best race of 2022 by a mile was her lone start with Lasix. And so she's getting Lasix because you can utilize them at Tampa Bay Downs. So we'll see if she is able to run back to that type of effort. Shantisara was disappointing at Keeneland, but bounced back. They cancel tomorrow, too? Okay, just today. Okay. They got stakes races tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. They're also getting weather tomorrow, but, you know. But anyway, this looks like a good spot for Chad, either way, with Shantisara or Rougier. And then the next cross-country pick five race, the Florida Oaks. Is that right? Steve is like he's like the Micro Machines guy here. He's doing a million things at once.
And Hillsboro, I'm just, Florida Oaks.
Florida Oaks, right. Yeah, so Florida Oaks is going to have the Suncoast Winter Dreaming of Snow moving to the turf. I think that she'll probably end up getting into a situation where this is a little bit too tough. Chad's going to be well represented here with Free Look, who comes in off the Breeders' Cup, making her 2023 debut, gets Lasix for the first time. She had some trouble with traffic down the stretch of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies turf, so I could see her being pretty tough to handle here. I've got a little more work to do on the race, admittedly, having looked at 65 races today, but I thought that she looked like a pretty tough competitor. Alphabella was a good second behind her stablemate, Cairo Consort, last time out. And I did think that All-American Beauty took a clear step forward in her last start. I don't see how Tapa Trice loses the Tampa Derby. I know that he doesn't really have an ideal running style for Tampa, but there's a lot of speed in here. I mean, he feels like he's just going to get an enormous setup.
He's already got an edge coming in. The one proviso is that surface is not for every horse. Yeah. And there's no shortage of horses that have arrived there you know, from particularly from the east coast of Florida,
yeah,
where things are where the you know tighter surfaces, training or
sure.
racing, and spun their wheels. It does happen.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Todd has just been good at figuring out who's not going to have
correct.
A problem with it.
Correct.
So, I mean, he's so good in these preps, but. Yeah, I hear you. No question about it. I think he'll be tough to handle when all is said and done. And then the correction is in this sequence as well, where Rosa Veloce should be probably somewhere around 3 to 5, coming in off a couple of allowance races. We'll see how she performs minus Lasix. So a lot of these Lasix off horses get into situations where they could struggle a little bit. I think Prodigy Doll for Phil Schoenthal is a little interesting in there, coming in off the Fritchie, and I could see her getting a piece of it at a relatively good price, too.
Well, and you mentioned Phil Schoenthal. Phil Schoenthal shows up on the timeline this morning as he wished Clocker John and Paul Matisse good luck based on the picture that John put up yesterday of Paul and I in an animated conversation. So maybe Phil Schoenthal kismet.
All-time good guy, Phil Schoenthal. I'm a fan.
Very, very smart horseman,
no
and brings an original thinking to his approach to the game and the care and maintenance of the American racehorse.
Yeah, absolutely right. Done with our
grows
Phil Schoenthal commercial. He does grow his own feed. Pretty tough to beat. And then the anchor leg of this cross-country pick five is the Zeri, which is just a terrific running of it.
Very interesting.
You know, it is very interesting.
If it's not the top pair, and the top pair does not have to win.
No, it's the top pair pending Nest, right? I mean, but Clairier and Secret Oath might be better than Nest. You know, there's no... Clairier is better than Nest at this point, so it's the best two running. I mean, it was enough for Asmussen. I did not realize that he very sneakily sent Pauline's Pearl to the Beholder Mile, which I did not expect, and I saw a picture of her schooling in the paddock yesterday and was like, wow, this is interesting. So you can imagine that, I mean, I'm pulling for her to get Grade 1 Glory wherever she can, so she should be interesting in there. You know, it's going to be a question of if Clairier's ready off the bench. The workout reports are that Secret Oath is training up a storm. And she's obviously been a little bit better at Oaklawn. Dwayne Lucas's horses run better at Oaklawn and Churchill than they do anywhere else. So I could see her being pretty tough. I think if properly ridden, she has an opportunity to get a clear jump on Clairier. She just doesn't need to move as early as she did in the Breeders' Cup, where she moved way too early. There should be a real pace with Hidden Connection and Hot and Sultry in the field. So it looks like an honestly run race, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see those two hook up at the top of the stretch and really slug it out.
A couple of questions. You mentioned Hidden Connection, who I'm a huge fan of, and she, one of the frustrations with a horse like this in a race like this is you try to figure out what's the winning trip for
her. Yeah, that's the problem. Can she stalk? Can she try and just go all in right away and wire the field? And ultimately, I think the problem is she good enough? I just think that those top two are a little bit better. And but I thought her Houston Ladies Classic performance was very solid. I think she's a mare now that has plenty of ability. So I'm not going to be surprised if she overperforms expectations. But, you know, she's a deserving 8 or 10 to 1 shot.
There's a very... interesting dynamic with Lovely Ride and...
Lovely Ride's the other speed horse I neglected to mention.
Well, and Interstate Daydream. Both speed horses. And if you're a figure user, if you're a Thoroughgraph user, for instance, and you don't even have to get too imaginative, you can even use the buyers, Lovely Ride and Interstate Daydream are the same horse. Lovely Ride is 15 to 1. Interstate Daydream's 3 to 1.
Yeah, exactly. That's a fair point. Yeah. I don't have any argument. Wait, who is 3 to 1?
Interstate Daydream.
She didn't look like a 3 to 1 shot to me.
I don't disagree. And again, a horse that you say to yourself, how does this horse win? All of that said, talk about the pace. Interstate Daydream, Lovely Ride, Hidden Connection. That leads us to the legitimate price horse in this race. Nacho Correas with Lidavida.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I thought she's very dangerous. So I handicapped this without the morning line. What is Clairier favored?
Clairier is 6 to 5.
That's a little short.
Secret Oath is 5 to 2.
And Interstate Daydream's
3 to 1.
It's hard for me to get to Interstate Daydream at 3, but I think, Lidavida's got to be 20, 15. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, that... look, it's a good betting race, especially if you're taking an off the pace horse, because they're going to get a setup, and I think Led Davida's last two races might be better than they look on paper.
Moonswag is the eighth horse in this at a price for Brendan Walsh.
Fell a little too far back last time at Sam Houston. I think Ricardo's a good fit for her. If he can get after her a little bit early and keep her in contact, that'll help.
There's also the possibility the wet track wasn't to her liking.
There's a possibility of that as well, yep.
She took some mud and just backed out of it.
It was harrowed, so it wasn't overwhelmingly wet. Right. But, well, hell, it rains at Oakland every day anyway.
Well, and it's impossible to talk about. Yes, it does. You know, we're talking speed horses. What the Norm Cassie, you know, he of the winning at 79%, whatever the hell it is, it's unbelievable, 12 for 26 at the meet. Here's a stretch out in Hot and Sultry. She did go a mile, and she won an allowance at Churchill in July last year. So it's not as if she can't, but she's stretching out of two sprints. So here's even more pressure from the outside.
Norm, 24%, 254 ROI stretching out on the dirt. So good numbers there. You know, it looks like it's probably a little much for her, but I don't blame him for trying. There aren't a lot of opportunities for horses that don't have conditions. And she looks like a horse who's on the improve. Obviously, having a new client like the Lieblongs for a guy like Norm, who's still young, is huge. And with Alex Lieblong being a mainstay in Arkansas racing, good spot to try.
All I know is if Le Davida runs the October 29th allowance race.
Keeneland race, yeah. Yeah.
Gets the pace set up.
Yeah.
And can win this race at Big Balloons.
It'll make this room happy.
Le Davida, Paul Weiser, good morning.
Good morning.
By the way, maybe the best group of Derby Trail NHC contestants in
history. Yeah, it's a strong group.
You,
Dan.
Travis
Dan,
Stone.
Dan got in yesterday.
Dan Kobolewski, Jim Sebas.
Mm-hmm. We can make Philly Joe an honorary
Joe.
Derby Trail member.
He's got an account.
Yeah, he's got an account.
He's got an account. Who else? Are missing anybody?
Been around a long time.
Long time.
Right?
Well, I'm a pup on that portion of it, but yeah. All right, my friend.
You good?
Good luck. I'll be back whenever.
We'll talk to you in the afternoon.
I'll be out of contention in no time. Don't worry.
Give the mic to Paul for a quick hello. Say hi. I'm not going to.
Hello. Well, thank you for having me.
The professor.
Good luck,
Nick. The professor is here.
Good luck, Paul. Yeah.
Thank you.
The skipper and the professor. There we go. Paul.
It'll be a good day.
I haven't heard. Haven't seen you. Haven't talked
Indeed.
To you. I knew you had qualified because you've qualified 20.
This is my 17th,
17.
I think.
That's close enough.
17 or 18. It's been a lot.
is this the breakthrough?
Let's hope so. This is a crapshoot, and anybody here could win this thing. So I'm well prepared. We'll do our best, and whatever happens, happens.
How's everything else at life
everything
in general?
Everything is good. Handicapping's been good. Preparation's good. I'm going to miss Santa Anita today, but otherwise, we'll see where we go.
I glanced at the card for a second, and Hammer's, I'm going to call and get Hammer on here momentarily. You know, as it happens, there was an even money favorite in the second. There was a five-horse field in the good allowance.
I really like the last race there, but it doesn't matter. You adjust and you move on, so you take it. And we'll see. Some of the mandatory races had some scratches that really impacted things.
Haven't had a chance. I'll do that after noon Eastern.
Yeah.
As we get ready, we'll be on from 2:30 to 6:30 at least day one here.
Contests are great. That's what I love about the sport. It's one of the few remaining things where you can guarantee value. I know what the payoffs are going to be. I don't have to worry about late odds drops. I don't have to worry about the purse being reduced before it comes around.
There you go. It's been
the winner's going to collect $800,000 Sunday. It's not going to get cut. So that's a good thing, and a lot of money to give away. And I'm just happy to be a part of it, and we'll see where it goes.
Paul Weiser, as always, great to see you.
Thanks,
here.
Steve.
We'll check in during
it.
The weekend.
Count on it.
All right.
Thanks again.
There it is, the Paul 17th qualification. How about that? Let's get Hammer in here, and he'll talk about the status of things at Santa Anita, because there was widespread fear yesterday about the heavy weather coming in and what it was going to mean, and there were plenty of people who chose actually not to handicap the Santa Anita card for just that reason, and they concentrated on everything else. Hammer, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Yeah, so you got the news.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, well, you saw, you were here last week, but it was raining on the way in. I think the idea was to try and, you know, do the right thing and get tomorrow, make sure we get tomorrow's card in, or they get tomorrow's card in for sure. So,
I mean, in terms of anticipation, you know, what's the thought process?
What, for tomorrow?
Yeah.
I say go.
All right, good. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I say go. And so, you know, like you said, so some people anticipated it. It's not, you know, it's not terribly a lot of, but it's going to supposedly rain all day. And then, you know, different rules here. And, you know, if you can save a Saturday over a Friday, that's the way to go. So that's why they did it. So, anyway, sounds like a blast there. I rarely make a mistake in my travel, and I think I did this time. I actually had tickets to come out, airline tickets. I'm going to fly out, spend there, but and decided not to. And every time you have someone on the radio, I was like, oh, man, you know, because I was worried I wasn't going to have a running mate, and there's a million of them out there. So anyway, I'm having fun vicariously through everyone that you have on the radio and yourself. So that's good.
Well, we do have to get you out here for one of these. I mean, you've anticipated it, and I guess this is at least a schedule. For whatever reason, this is a schedule that'll work well for you. Maybe going forward.
You know, like I said, I scheduled it, and I had a reason to be here today and tomorrow, and I took it. Did the right thing, but next year, forget it. I'm buying my tickets now. I'm settled in. I'm coming out. I just like the atmosphere. And you know what? Heard you talking. You had Roger on this morning. He seems my type of guy. I like. I don't know him, but you know, having fun, doing this, doing that. And you were talking about, you know, different types of contests. And for me, if I can get into that one, that's me. I'm not, because the bankroll, like Nick is, you know, Nick and Marshall, those guys are great at that. I'm all right at picking winners, and I could compete with that. And I was trying to figure out why, and I think it's because I've been working, you know, in the game, and I can't really spend so much time working. I can't really bet that much. And so through my, you know, betting career, I haven't really, you know, developed that side of it as much. Sounds kind of crazy, but of course I handicap all the time. And, you know, it's a different thing of picking winners and then betting as well. So, you know, that's my kind of contest for sure.
Well, maybe your attendance will be as a contestant instead.
Well, that would be great. But anyway, like I said, I'm having fun listening, and I'll be listening all week. And, you know, it's kind of wild. It's just like you start knowing people that are, you know, riding horses in the big races. Now you start knowing all the handicappers that are in all the big contests.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of cool. So, you know, it's like I wish good luck to everybody, you know. Everyone that you've had on, it's just been great.
Well, let's get a couple of things in about the weekend. And before we do that, you talked about the last weekend. It was really a terrific afternoon of racing. Enjoyed, particularly when we got to the late double, essentially, the Kilrow and the Big Cap Hammer. And you ended up with two incredibly exciting finishes that just sort of, you know, sent everybody, you know, out the turnstiles on a high. It was a great finish to a very nice Big Cap day.
Yeah, and you know, being here all week, you saw a few things during the week with the training and not training, and you know, as it turned out, you know, not everyone, you know, seemed to run their race. I don't think that had anything to do with it, but you know, it's nice. It's nice when it's you're up and it's your turn to actually, you know, they put on a great card here. The stakes were good. The whole card was good to perform. And you know, it was nice to see Stiletto Boy finally get his win after running, you know, in the money with some of the good horses around. And, you know, Gold Phoenix, I think I sent you a little note that Gold Phoenix had run on the same day, sending to handicap the day before in the first race of the afternoon, and was a once other then. and he finished second. So a year later, you know, he's a grade one winner in the Kill Row. So, but like you said, it was a good day, good car, a lot of good exciting races. And it's Tampa's turn, you know, this week, and boy, did they step up too. So it's great to kind of stagger those days and you know, see these tracks step up.
The action, and let me pull out the one venue we did not talk much about, it was today, has been Gulfstream, and I should mention the Hurricane Birdie is the stake. Frank's Rockette, a heavy favorite, 4-5 in there. A couple of maiden races, a couple of allowance races at Gulfstream, and of course the Coast to Coast, and I'll give everybody the Coast to Coast lineup in a second, but let me pull the Santa Anita action out, and of course the Beholder Mile, the Grade One, and in fact Nick Tamaro made a reference to it. Pauline's Pearl. Does Asmussen get is the ship and win bonus available for stake horses?
You know, I'm gonna put up the white flag. I'm not sure. It used to be, and I don't want to say yes for sure on it, but they're restructuring that. But maybe at this time, yes, I'm going to say. So that's a good thing for here. But I got to tell you, so this, we changed this thing to a mile. It used to be the Vanity, a mile and eighth when it was running Hollywood Park, and then it came over here, and we, you know, it was just kind of a blah race. So we changed it to a mile in 2016, and we've had some wonderful fillies like Beholder, Stellar Wind, Unique Bella, CC's, Swiss Skydiver have won this race, but the race has been like a 4 to 5 horse field. So I commend the office here for finally, you know, this race getting what it deserves, an 8-horse field. And it's a pretty darn good race from top to bottom, and topped off by Pauline's Pearl, the grade one winner who ships here, you know, going for the mile distance. It's the only grade one for a mile for fillies and mares. That's why I figured, you know, maybe it worked. But and also Brad Cox ships one over a Moray as well. So, you know, Baffert has three in here. Fun to Dream, the La Brea and Santa Monica winner, and Midnight Memories, who won the Zenyatta going long here in the last fall. Just a really super race. I mean, Pauline's Pearl, it's up to Gray Philly. For those of you who don't like to bet the unknown Gray, she's Gray, so you're covered there. But Midnight Memories, decent price. You know what I mean? Second run since October. Bob is great at this. I mean, at a little bit of a price, she might be there. Fun to Dream going for a third in a row. She just seems to crank off the same thoroughbred numbers in a row, you know, 3-3-3-3-3. So she's going to run a solid one. But, you know, Pauline's Pearl's a grade one winner in here. But a great contest, you know, top to bottom. I think if you're looking for something, you know, on Friday late, you might get a decent price in here. But you mentioned that the earlier stake, the San Carlos going 7/8. This is a tricky one here. There's some nice fillies, nice colts in here. Forbidden Kingdom being the favorite, hasn't run since the Malibu and deserves favorite. But I just looked at the odds on the outside horse, How Be It from Mark Latt, who's always tough in these sprints. This horse won the sprints championship at the fall meet, and he's 5-1 in the program, so that's some value in there.
The San Carlos is part of the cross country. The Beholder is not. Let me give everybody the cross country races and make a quick note. It starts at 4:07 tomorrow. It's an all turf sequence. So I certainly hope that, you know, there's no issues when it comes to the grass at Santa Anita for tomorrow. But it starts with the eighth race at, actually, I'm sorry, that's the Sunday. I take that back. I almost gave everybody the wrong sequence. I'm sorry. That is the, Rick, that's the Sunday sequence. Sunday sequence is Gulfstream 8, Santa Anita 3, Gulfstream 10, Santa Anita 5 and 7. Let me, as we,
give me a second. Sequence will be definitely run.
All right, that up front. So Sunday we don't have to worry about. unbelievable. I'm afraid. Let me at least stand up, Hammer. Maybe
Standing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That part's fine. I don't know.
Hey, Steve, I can't hear you. So why
well,
don't
there,
you...
there's no hearing. They're playing the national anthem that we're wading through here. So give it a minute. Give it a few seconds.
I'm gonna sign off here. Let you finish up because I can't hear you.
All right, Rick.
All right.
Well. All right. Here's your sequence for the Saturday cross country, and it's a sequence that actually is so nicely arranged because it will take place over a 59-minute sequence. The Gulfstream ninth starts it off. That's a turf allowance and a nice size field too, a full field of 12. I imagine that'll be a popular race tomorrow for players. And then to Santa Anita for the fourth, which is a filly maiden special on the grass. So two turf races to start it. Then back to Gulfstream for the 10th. That is a first level allowance for elders going 6.5. Back to Santa Anita for the 5th. Then San Carlos will be part of the sequence. And then the Gulfstream nightcap, the 11th. And the first mandatory it's a 12, actually it's a 12, I didn't, wow, it's a 12 race card at Gulfstream. And the Captiva Island Stake, the turf sprint, the 5-furlong turf sprint is the nightcap, or at least the anchor leg, I should say. Of the coast to coast pick five. All right. So let's put that together, and that pretty much takes us toward the end of the weekend preview morning. Not sure. Yeah, well, there's not 55. Not enough time to do much else, really, other than kind of pull things together and set you up for the weekend action here in the NHC. The first mandatory today comes from Aqueduct. Just about, let's see, call it, it's going to be, it's about 2.5 hours away. Of course, the first racing action. As we look at the, I keep a one of the most valuable sheets, or the full.
Thank you, Keith. We're going to go right down the sheet in post position order for the mandatory race.
The full slate of action crossing off Santa Anita. There were going to be 60 races available. So we're losing 8 from Santa Anita. All right, so 52 races. The first 12:20 is the first race that will be eligible for players at the NHC this year. 9:20 at Tampa. Then we roll into Laurel, Gulfstream, Aqueduct, Oaklawn, and Fairgrounds. So over the next couple of hours, we'll basically get everything established and set for our coverage. And again, 2:30 Eastern time. All right. And actually, as Brian Skirka goes through the mandatories,
if you want to jot these down, if you don't have a lot of internet access, Aqueduct 3rd, Gulfstream 5th, Laurel 6th, Oaklawn 5th, Gulfstream 8th, Tampa 9th, Fairground 7th, Oaklawn 9th. And we'll be able to handicap. Rich Eng will be here to co-pilot, and we'll have plenty of other handicapping visitors, and we'll be able to handicap and play these races. One of the highlights, the real highlight, with Rich Eng's contributions. Rich has banged out any number of on-the-fly winners, and we'll bring through a parade of guests that'll just come and join us. Some of the tables that are close by, the Hudak crew. The Hudak crew is a little bit thinner this year without some of the major players, some of the fun participants, but maybe we'll get input from them. I hope. Bacek not at the table yet, but the Schenverts, father and son, some of the best players on the circuit. We'll call on as we see them, as they make their way around the ballroom over the next 3 days. All right, day one, and then tomorrow, day two, they'll cut down. The top 10% will play into Sunday's semifinal, and then the top 10 players out of the semi will make the final table. So thanks to Roger Satina, Marty McGee, Dave Basler, Scott Schapp, and James Scully, and of course Trey Stiles and Nick together, and Hammer to close us out on the Twin Spires weekend preview at the races. But it's one of our most intense weekends of action all year, the National Horse Players Championship from the Horseshoe. Talk to you, everybody. SteveBick.com, 2:30 coverage kicks off. It's going to be a fun 3 days. Hope you'll join us. Ultimately, the last conversation of the weekend with a champion holding one of those big styrofoam checks for $800,000. Talk to you this afternoon, everybody. Thanks a lot.
At the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program.